Morning. Are you all awake?
No.
Do you want to be?
No.
Did you all bring your blankets today? Yeah. Well, take a look around. We have a lot of empty seats because there are people who are braver than us because they're up camping in the snow and the rain, and they're much braver than I am to be able to do that. But we are grateful that you are here. If you are a guest with us this morning, hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. In that welcome packet, there is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that card out and either drop it in the offering plate or set it on the information table out in the foyer, that would be such a big help to us. And hopefully you also received a bulletin, and all the rest of you that are here, maybe you received a bulletin as well. So let's take it out. And there's not a whole lot going on because we are officially now in our summer schedule. So we just have our morning worship service this morning, but not just, we have our worship service this morning. Okay. And then Saturday we have men's breakfast here at the church. And so I want to invite all of you as men to make sure that you have that on your calendar. Come and join us for breakfast. Jared already told me that he should be the one doing the cooking. So that'll be good. He didn't tell me what the menu is, but hopefully it's okay. All right. I think we got that covered. So that'll be great. And then put on your calendar that on June 12th, we will be doing our church family dinner. And the theme will be chicken. Chicken dinner. Chicken, chicken, chicken dinner, dinner, dinner. Okay. All right. So you have some instructions there. Bring a main dish. And there's some ideas for chicken. Notice it doesn't say chicken parm. So you don't have to worry about that. No, if you want to bring that, that's fine, all right? And there's other things, but we want to just make sure you have that on your calendar. Make sure that you're aware that we want to have a chicken theme. Please don't bring chicken dessert, though, okay? All right. Well, I guess you can if you can figure something out how to be able to do. What? You put eggs in it. Okay. All right. Oh, so you could bring hard-boiled eggs. Because that would be a chicken dinner, right?
Ooh,
oh,
nice.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, and I want to just, this has been in the bulletin for a couple weeks. I don't know how many of you are aware, because I know some of you are new, but we support missionaries as part of our yearly budget, our financial budget, and they communicate with us. Wow. Imagine that. And if you're interested in reading from the missionaries that our church supports, their missionary letters, their communication is right in the middle of this bulletin board that's right outside the sanctuary doors. And we try to keep that updated every month. And so most of them are pretty current. So you might want to stop by and you might want to just take a moment and read what's happening in the lives of our missionaries or the agencies that we choose to support. So that would be very, very good. All right, are you ready to praise God? Ready to lift your voices in praise? All right, let's do it, guys.
Would you all stand with me for this first song, Great is Thy Faithfulness? Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, oh, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faith, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faith, one more time. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Would you go ahead and be seated as we pray together? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your great faithfulness. God, we're so thankful that we can trust you. We're thankful for who you are, for what you've done for us. God, we believe and we know that you are more than enough for all the things that we need, whatever we can ask, think, or imagine. You're more than enough. So, Lord, we declare our dependence upon you today. We declare that we love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you worship with me today? I'll never be more loved than I am right now. I wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. I'm going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I don't want to forget how I feel right now on the mountaintop. Oh, I can see so clear what it's all about. Stay by my side when the sun goes down. Don't want to forget how I feel right now. Hey, Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I'm already loved, I'm already chosen. I know who I am, I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved, more than I could imagine. More than you ask, think, or imagine. According to His power working in us, it's more than enough. More than you ask, think, or imagine. According to His power working in us, it's more than enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. Oh, Jireh, you are enough. Yeah, Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough.
Thank you, Lord, for being more than enough, for being all that we need, all that we could ever hope for. You're our friend, our brother. I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion, with me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify, hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, so God really loves us. Yes, God really loves us. His mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you're needing forgiveness or healing. His mercy's enough.
Yes.
Oh, and this is our hope. Oh, the cross it has spoken. And death is no more. Christ is the Lord. This is our hope. God really loves us. Yes, God really loves us. Oh, what a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. Oh, what a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. Yes, God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. God really loves us.
Let this be our prayer this morning. Jesus, Jesus, precious Lord, none on the earth or heavens above that I have found more beautiful. You are my treasure, my great reward. I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. All to you. Jesus, Jesus, my offering, all my ambitions, my hopes, my dreams, and here's my life, Lord, a sacrifice. I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. All to you. I just want to move your heart. Get drawn within your gaze, right here in your presence. God is where I want to stay, or just to dwell in your house. Spend my hours and my days on you. All on you. Is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Then here I give my vows. Is it a song I sing?
then here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you.
Is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a light laid down? Then here I give my vows. Is it a song I sing? Then here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you. Lord, tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you. I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. I just want to move your heart. Get God within your gaze, right here in your presence. God is where I want to stay, or just to dwell in your house. Spend my hours and my days on you, all on you, on you.
Lord, we are here for you today. We came to be with the living God. If we came for any other reason, then this is just a club. We came to be with God Almighty today, to sit at your feet and worship, to learn from the Scripture, to know you a little bit more. Lord, would you be blessed by our praise? Lord, would you be magnified? And as we go out of this place later on today, Lord, would we impact this world for you? Lord, show us. Show us what moves you and move our heart to be like yours. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing a classic, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee, swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from me, filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose, every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne.
Just your voices.
Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee. Amen.
That was beautiful. Thank you, worship team. Some great, great songs this morning. So hopefully, those of you that have children with us this morning, you've seen the announcement in the bulletin that there's no children's church, but we do have worship, children's worship bulletins out on the front information table. And some colored pencils. So if your children haven't picked those up, make sure that they go out and grab some of those this morning. I don't like to do this very often. Jeremy, is it possible to put the words to that very first verse of that last song we just sang back up on the screen? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. It's not very often we get to encapsulate the message for this morning at the beginning. Most of the time I save that for the end. But you know, as that popped up on the screen and as we started to sing it, it's like, that's what this morning's message is all about, is what to do with the time that God has given to us, what to do with the days that God has given to us in light of the fourth commandment. Now, for those of you that are guests with us this morning, we've been studying through the book of Exodus, and we've come to the point in Exodus to where the Israelites have gathered near Mount Sinai. Moses has gone up onto Mount Sinai, and he's receiving the Ten Commandments from God. Now, the Ten Commandments were given just to the nation of Israel. And the Ten Commandments are just the beginning of about 300 and some odd other laws that God had given to the Israelites. We have to keep that in mind. These were given to the Israelites. They weren't given to us as Gentiles. They weren't given to us who dwell in the church age. Now, are there things that we can learn from them? Is there? Yes, we can learn how to have a closer fellowship with God through these Ten Commandments. We can learn more about God's purposes and God's plans for us, even as believers, even us as human beings, by looking at these Ten Commandments. Do these Ten Commandments bring us salvation? Salvation for eternal life? In no way, shape, or form do they do that. That is not the focus. Now, today, we're going to look at remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, Memorial Day is a day set aside to remember. We need to remember those who served in our military to give us the freedom that we have to be able to gather together here this morning. We need to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country by giving of their lives as they served our country in the military. We need to remember that. We need to remember those of our loved ones and our friends that have passed away, that have gone on before us. We need to remember that. But we're going to remember this morning, but we're going to remember with a different focus. So remember from last week that the third commandment challenged us to honor God with our lives and our lips. And this fourth commandment calls us to honor God with our time. By the way, thank you, Jeremy, for doing that. This fourth commandment, more than the others, is either dismissed as an outdated rule or held on to with the guilt trip of legalism. It's important to know this commandment because it deals with 15% of our time. It deals with 15% of the way that we may choose or not choose to live our lives. So I want to start with a question this morning. How do we deal with our time? How do I deal with our time? So many people are feeling overwhelmed, going 210 miles an hour through life and getting so much of it wrong because they never slow down and pay attention. Gordon Dahl said, most middle-class Americans tend to worship their work, to work at their play, and to play at their worship. As a result, their meanings and their values are distorted. So this morning, I want us to turn our attention to the fourth commandment. So hopefully you found Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 8 through 11. So follow along as I read these verses. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, before we get into the body of our message this morning, I want us to take a few moments and just make some key observations. The first one is this. This is the first positive commandment. The other command that's not stated in the negative is the fifth one. Honor your father and mother. This is the last of the vertical commands. Vertical meaning between me and God, between us and God. The first four have to do with our relationship with God, and the next six are about our relationships with others. This is the longest of the Ten Commandments. This command is 98 words. The last five commandments combined use just 53 words. This commandment is difficult to understand and is most controversial. Much has been written and debated about this commandment than perhaps any of the others. There was a group of Baptist churches which split into three separate groups because they had differences of opinion about how to understand and apply this command. This is the only one of the Ten Commandments not reinforced in the New Testament. This command had a lot of meaning to the Israelites. Think of how important this instruction by God would have been to people who had just spent the last 400 years working as slaves with no days off. Now, here's an important truth. We looked at some important things to observe. Here's an important truth. Set apart one day in seven to stop what you are doing to remember the Creator God and his work of redemption through his son Jesus as you look forward to the everlasting life given to us by our belief in Jesus as Savior. We have eternal life. We have redemption. We have God's salvation from sin, not because we keep the Ten Commandments, not because we keep the Sabbath day. We have it because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. He is our Savior. The Ten Commandments are not our Savior. The law of God is not, the law of Moses is not our Savior. Only Jesus came to be the one who took away the sin of the world. We do not have eternal life because we keep the Sabbath or because we keep any of the other laws that God gave to the Israelites, over 300 and some. We have eternal life not because of our behavior, but because we believe in Jesus as Savior. Now, there's some importance. There's a good reason for us to be able to take a look at especially this fourth commandment and to be able to think about it, because there was a purpose. And I want us to spend some time looking at some of the purposes. There was a purpose for this. The first purpose was to remember. To remember what? To remember to rest. Now, the word remember in the Hebrew means to recall, to mark, to set aside. In Hebrew, the action of remembering is not just the ability or opportunity to recall something. It means a change of behavior so that our lives line up with what we've been reminded of. We're to ponder and then put it into practice. To remember is to embrace for our own selves. And this word remember is used over 200 times in God's word. Why? Because as human beings, we all have broken rememberers. And we have a tendency to forget. Now the word Sabbath or Shabbat, while observed on Saturday by the Israelites, does not mean seventh or Saturday as commonly thought. Sabbath is defined as a cessation from labor, a day to desist from exertion. Sabbath can be called, for those of us that need a more simpler definition, the stop working day. Now, have you ever heard people answer the question, "How are you?" with this phrase, "I'm busy," or "I'm crazy busy," or "Our family is going in 100 different directions." It's almost if we need to validate our lives by letting people know how busy we are. When I think about that, I'm reminded of the song sung by Archibald. Do you know who Archibald is? He's on VeggieTales. And he says, "I bet you thought, what? Our pastor knows about VeggieTales?" "Yeah, I do." And Archibald says, "I'm busy, busy, dreadfully busy. You've no idea what I have to do. Busy, busy, shockingly busy. Much, much too busy for you." Sometimes that can be the way that we live our lives, isn't it? We're too busy for our families. We're too busy for ourselves. We're too busy for our friends. We're too busy for God. And God has given the Sabbath not for some day for us to be able to hold. He's given us a Sabbath for us to what? To rest, to stop, to be able to have time for our families, to have time for ourselves, to have time for Him. Don't be like Archibald. You know, when people tell me why they haven't been to church for a while, you know what the number one reason is? We're just so busy. And I can't fathom that. I can't get that in my head and in my heart. I can't wrap myself around that. Because I love Sundays. And I love Sundays for a couple different reasons. To me, Sundays isn't church. Sunday is a family reunion. I love being here on Sunday. I love being in reunion with you. I love being here as you come through the door and I see your mostly smiling faces. I love when new people come in and I'm standing out there in the foyer and I get to greet them and hopefully have a quick connection with them. And then they feel like we're family and I'm family. I love Sundays because it's a family reunion. And if my family back home in Ohio was to hold a family reunion and I wasn't there, it'd be no big deal. But on Sundays, when my church family is holding a family reunion and I'm not there, it's a big deal. I want to be with my church family. I also love Sundays because Sundays make better Mondays. Whoa. Because on Sunday, I get to do what? I get to come, and I get to praise God. And I get to praise God with my church family. Woo! Man, how much better can that be? I don't have to praise God in the quietness of my car or the quietness of my house. We get to praise God together, and that makes what? Monday so much better. Because we've been together. I don't want to be so busy, whether I'm doing the things of God or whether I'm doing the things of Sam, I don't want to be so busy that I can't be here on Sunday to be with my church family. I love Sundays. You see, God has given us a gift for us to be able to use to rest. God wants us to rest so we can be refreshed. Sabbath is designed to be a gift, not a grind. Now, the observance of Sabbath was an opportunity for God's people to remember that God had set them free from slavery. And you know what? That's our opportunity today. We've gathered here today. We've taken time out of our busy schedules to be able to gather here. Hopefully you gathered here because of the family reunion. Hopefully you've gathered here today because it makes Mondays better. But we've gathered here to remember that God has set us free from slavery, the slavery of sin. Not because we keep laws. Not because we obey regulations. But because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. When you stop working one day in seven, you remember that life is good, that it is not all work and no rest. When you periodically cease from your labor, you remember that you are no longer a slave. You remember that God, your Redeemer, has set you free from the oppression of your slave drivers, whether those drivers be someone else or even your own self. There's a second purpose, and that second purpose is rhythm. I think it's obvious that God set up regular rhythms of work and rest, labor followed by leisure. Look at verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And then look at verse 10. But the seventh day is a Sabbath, a time to cease from your work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. Now, labor here refers to the general things we do in and outside the home to keep things going. Work is what we do for our livelihood. So God established the pattern of working and resting. And he did this when he provided for the Israelites manna to be able to eat. You remember that? They were to collect twice as much on the sixth day so they would not work on the seventh. We can go back to Exodus chapter 16 and see that. Now, while some of us struggle with overwork, it seems others are losing their work ethic. With millions of jobs available, there are a few applicants. There are businesses that are only open part of the time, if they're even open at all. Because why? They can't find enough people to be able to fill the jobs that need to be done. According to some recent statistics tabulated by the Wall Street Journal, there are currently 8 million fewer Americans working now than before COVID. Employers are saying that people are not flocking to take these jobs, not because they're tired of working. Rather, the evidence is that millions of Americans have decided they like not working. God calls us to be a people who are productive by doing an honest week's work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. If you work in the workplace, you need to, or even if now, because of certain circumstances, you are working from home, you need to give your employer, you need to give your boss an honest day's work. No cutting corners, no taking extra long lunches or extra long breaks. no working part of the time. You know what's amazing is there are people who are choosing to work part-time, but they're expecting full-time pay. I don't know how that works. I've never been able to do that. I've always felt that it was important for me to give my employer an honest day's work. If I was scheduled to work 8 hours, I worked 8 hours. If I was scheduled to work 5 hours, I worked 5 hours. Whatever the schedule called for. That doesn't mean that I can call in just because I don't feel like going to work today. That employer is counting on me. God has said that it's important for me to be able to give that employer what it is they are expecting. But God has given us a rhythm of work and rest, labor followed by leisure. There's another purpose. The other purpose is reverence. Remember what he says? The purpose of remembering the Sabbath is what? To keep it holy. This is an emphatic imperative. It means to separate, to set apart. It can also be translated to elevate. God set the Sabbath apart for a high and holy purpose. One commentator states it this way: Sabbath rest is set apart as holy. It is intended for worship as much as for well-being. I like that. It is intended for worship as much as for well-being. Just as our checkbooks reveal our values, so do our calendars. Now let's make sure that our calendars reflect time for weekly church family worship. And our model, remember the model? Our model for revering on one special day is God himself. God did his work of creation in 6 literal days, and he rested for 1 24-hour day. Now, he didn't rest because he was tired. He didn't rest because he was worn out. He rested to give us a model that we're to work 6 days and then take a day for rest. There's another purpose, and that purpose is reliance. When the Israelites kept the Sabbath, it was a way to rely on God to provide for their needs. God set up the Sabbath, and he promised to take care of his people, as evidenced by how he provided double the manna on the day before the Sabbath, as again recorded for us in Exodus chapter 16. We're to use that day of rest, whatever that day of rest may be for us, to be able to show others and to show God we are relying on him. Years ago, Becky had an aunt who was a missionary in Japan, and she fell in love with a farmer from Dusty, Washington. Now, Dusty is a small little community close to Colfax, Washington, and Uncle Bob was a farmer there in Dusty. He farmed wheat on those hills of the Palouse. It was hard, hard work. It was incredibly, before they had self-leveling combines, which, by the way, if you've never been in a self-leveling combine, it is a weird experience. Because you know that you're on the side of a hill, but the combine is level. And you know you're not supposed to be level because you know you're on the side of a hill. It messes with your mind. It's really incredible. And I remember going out and being in the combine with Uncle Bob, and that was a great experience. Uncle Bob, every Sunday, would be in a church. It was called the Old Country Bible Church. And I've preached there several times when I was an Awana missionary, and we were living in Spokane. And I remember one time I was there and I was preaching in the morning service, and I remember one of Uncle Bob's farmer friends came up to Uncle Bob, and I was standing within close proximity, and this farmer friend said, "So Bob, have you done your spraying? Have you done the cultivating yet?" Uncle Bob said, "Yeah, I'm going to get to that tomorrow." "Tomorrow? Well, don't you think that'll be too late? I'm going home right now after church, and I'm gonna change clothes, and I'm gonna grab a quick bite to eat, and I'm gonna be out there. I'm gonna be cultivating. I'm gonna be spraying. I'm gonna get that done. Maybe you should do that too. And Uncle Bob said, nope. This is the Lord's day. This is the day that he's given me to be able to rest. Well, what about your wheat crop? And Uncle Bob said, you know what? God's in charge of my wheat crop. Because before I ever planted it, I prayed and gave it to him. And I've been doing this for years. And let me tell you something. God always blessed Uncle Bob. And I believe that God blessed Uncle Bob because Uncle Bob didn't work on the farm on Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because I was there on some Saturdays and they were out there working in the fields. Sunday, nope. In fact, Sunday after church, we would go to Uncle Bob and Aunt Verna's home, and Aunt Verna would make us fried chicken. Oh, she made the best fried chicken. It was so good. And mashed potatoes and gravy, and it was so good. And we would have a good dinner, and we would just enjoy the rest of today, of that day, doing what? Resting. Reflecting on what it is that God had provided for us while we were in his house, worshiping on the day that they had chose to set aside for rest and worship. Do you get the idea? You see, the Sabbath was given so that we would be able to know that, you know what? God's going to take care of us. We can rely on him. That was one of the purposes. Just as the rainbow was a sign of promise to Noah, and circumcision was the sign of covenant to Abraham, so the Sabbath was a sign to Moses and the Israelites that God would take care of them as they trusted him. Boy, I learned that lesson from Uncle Bob in Dusty, Washington. Not only was there a purpose, there was an adjustment. Let's think about that for a little bit. Jesus gathered for public worship one day a week. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read." When Jesus knew that the appropriate day for him to be able to be in the synagogue, where was he? He was in the synagogue. When we know what the appropriate day for us to be in the house of the Lord, to be there for worship, to be there for rest, don't you think if that was important to Jesus, it's important to us? It was his regular practice to gather for weekly worship because it was important to him. Now, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And Jesus did this on six occasions. And when he did it, it angered the religious Jewish leaders every time. And Jesus showed that doing good and doing works of mercy were to be celebrated on the Sabbath. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 12, Jesus said, "It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Jesus proclaimed himself as Lord of the Sabbath. Now, at that time, the Jewish religious leaders followed 39 Sabbath clarifications. 39. When God gave Moses and the Israelites this instruction about the Sabbath, what did he say? Remember the Sabbath. He didn't do a whole lot of clarification. They instituted 39 Sabbath clarifications, which, having multiple subdivisions, gave them a total of more than 1,500 restrictions for the Sabbath. Whoa! So is this man's doing or is this God's doing? This is man's doing. For instance, you couldn't kill a fly or a mosquito which landed on your arm because you would be guilty of hunting on the Sabbath. You think that's funny? If a man's ox fell into the ditch, he could pull it out. But if a man fell in, he had to stay there. And if a man fell in while he was pulling the ox, trying to pull the ox out, both the ox and the man had to stay in the ditch. You could dip your radish in salt on the Sabbath. But if you left it there too long, you were pickling it. And this was equal to working. The tying of knots was forbidden, except for those that could be loosened with one hand. Or a person was not supposed to carry enough ink to write two letters of the alphabet, just enough for one.
What?
See what happens when man tries to improve what it is that God has given us? One time, Jesus and his disciples were walking through some fields of grain on the Sabbath, and the disciples picked the heads of grain and began to eat. And the Pharisees went bananas and quickly scolded them. Jesus taught the Sabbath was for our benefit. The Sabbath was never intended to be a burden, but rather a blessing. The Sabbath was given to people out of the grace of God. They made it something God never intended it to be. Just like in the New Testament, the church, the early church, especially the church at Corinth, took what God had made, what Jesus had instituted, we call it communion, and they made it something Jesus never intended for it to be. This day of rest was to be a time of refreshment, not a day of restriction, a delight, not a duty. But unfortunately, because the Jewish religious leaders had added a bunch of laws and rules and regulations, it had become a heavy burden. Now remember, in one of the key things that we, the key observances that we made at the beginning of the message, we said that this is the only command that is not reinforced in the New Testament. Because there is no stipulated day of worship given in the New Testament, the early church voluntarily established Sunday as the Son's Day, because this is the day that God's Son rose from the dead after dying on the cross for the sins of the world. This shift we see begins in the Gospels and continues on into the observance by the early church. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 says, on the first day of the week, when we gathered together to break bread. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 says, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as they may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. In Galatians, Paul instructs believers that we are under no obligation to celebrate calendar feast days or the observance of Saturday Sabbath because we have freedom from the Mosaic law. May we enjoy this liberty without becoming legalistic. Let's preserve the Sabbath principle by setting aside Sunday as the Son's Day. Because the purpose behind Sabbath remains the same. Set apart one day in seven to stop what you are doing, to remember the Creator God and his work of redemption through his Son Jesus, the Savior. But truth be known, we should give God all 7 days, because 7 out of 7 days belong to him. For us as believers, every day is the Son's Day. Now, what have we learned from this? Well, let me give you some questions to think about in relation to what it is that we've learned. Do you have one day a week in which you unplug in order to rest? And one day doesn't have to mean a specific 24-hour period. If you set aside this day and something comes up and you've got to do something and it's going to take you pretty much the rest of that day, it's okay. Take another half day somewhere along the rest of the week and combine those two to make a day for you to rest. You can schedule it as God allows you. What one decision will you make to get your calendar back in rhythm so that you don't have to say, we are so busy, we are crazy busy? What one decision will you make to get your calendar back in rhythm? What plans will you set in place in order to revere God on one specific day? And may I suggest that it's the day when we gather together for church family reunion? Wouldn't that be a good day? I think so. What one activity can you set aside? And what's one thing you can start doing to demonstrating that you are relying on God? Take a day off every week and gain some perspective. Take a day off every week and be more productive. Father, thank you for what it is that you have taught us this morning. And Father, you've reminded us through this message that we as human beings, even believers, we get so busy that we don't set aside time to remind us that we need to be relying on you. We don't set aside time to be able to reverence you. We don't set aside time for the rhythm that you have given to us of work and rest, labor and leisure, to be put into practice into our lives. And Father, we are so busy that we don't take time to rest. Father, I pray that if that's us, that through your Holy Spirit, you will help us to be able to change, to be able to set aside time out of our schedules for rest, to reset the rhythm, to know that we can rely on you, that we might be able to gain our strength, that we might be able to gather together for our church family reunions as we meet one day out of the week to praise and to worship and to hear from your word. Father, teach us these things. Help us to not just hear them, but to do them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can go ahead and stay seated today for this last song. It's called Another in the Fire, and as we go out today, I hope it will encourage you to know that you're not alone. It uses some lyrics that say, in the space between, and what that means is, in the days of your life, in the space between now and when we see Jesus face to face, we might fall, we might go through difficulty, but he is there with us in the fire. So as we sing the song, Another in the Fire, be thinking about he goes with you.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. Oh, all my dead left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning, either way I won't bow to the things of this world. And I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas.
And should I ever need reminding what power set me free? There is a grave that holds nobody, and now that power lives in me. There is another in the fire. Oh, 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 yeah. I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows you in. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. Oh, I know I will never be alone, yeah. Oh, I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, because I know that's where you'll be. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be.